Bruchim Haboyim, welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Chukas. The Shir is said, Lezecher Nishmas, Ule Ile Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, Be'ezus Hashem, their Neshama Tahira Zohobin, Alichtig Gan Eden. And hopefully we'll get Chizuk from tonight's Shir and be able to say over some of the Divrei Torah and share it on Shabbos Kodesh. As always, whether you're joining, I can't say in the Heichal, but in the Gan Ariel, or listening live, or we'll hear the recording wherever it might be, it's a big honor that we're able to learn together and have the Parsha Insights, Parshas Chukas. Take a look inside of Perek Chof Pasuk, Chof Gimel, and Chof Dalet. Basically, at this point, Klal Yisrael is about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Once again, please take a look at the Pasuk. Just so you should know what these psukim are talking about, Perakoch. We'll focus in a minute on something mentioned in Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. But just to understand the context, Klal Yisrael is about to enter Eretz Yisrael. We had been in the Midbar to the south of Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarshim tell us there was a preferred route that we wanted to enter within Eretz Yisrael through the territory of Edom. The next sentence is going to be critical to tonight's shir. We wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael after our sojourn in the wilderness through the territory of Edom, obviously a descendant of Esau. Moshe Rabbeinu sent a delegation to the king of Edom. I said a moment ago, and I'll repeat it, because it will be critical to tonight's shir. Edom being the descendant of Esau. He requested permission to be able to enter the land through their territory, but the king refused. Obviously, Klal Yisrael was then forced to travel around Edom, east and then north, eventually crossing one nation and another, the east bank of the Yarden, and then entering the Eretz Yisrael. That was a very brief summary of how we entered, how we wanted to enter, but as I said a moment ago, Moshe Rabbeinu's request was denied. Take a look at Pasuk Chof Gimel. Pasuk Chof Gimel tells us, Hashem told Moshe and Aaron that Al Givul Eretz Edom Lemar, on the border of the land of Edom, saying, and if you take a look at Rashi on this Pasuk, Rashi tells us that the reason that the location of the border of Edom is mentioned here, this is after we were already turned down or rejected. The reason, says Rashi, the location is stressed here is to indicate that Klal Yisrael had a connection with the wicked people of Esau. And because of this connection with Esau and this wrongdoing, that eventually was the reason or what led to Aaron Kohen Gadol dying. Now, a few things have to be wondered over here. If we take a look earlier, if you can for a moment earlier, take a look at Pasuk Yedalad. Pasuk Yedalad tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, look at Yedalad, it's clear to see, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you're looking here in the article on the top of 846, Moshe Rabbeinu himself sent emissaries to request from the king of Edom, and they indeed did request. And that petition, we know, was rebuffed. So let's understand two clear questions. Number one, Rashi over here indicates, some Leben Gesundheit, that we joined with Esau. How could you explain that we joined with Esau if I just told you, Rashi says over here, as I just quoted Rashi, indicating Klal Yisrael connected with the wicked people of Esau. And I said a moment ago that was the wrongdoing. How could you say we connected with the people of Esau? I just read you from earlier Psukim that our request was denied and we were rebuffed. So if we were rebuffed, what does it mean we're connected? And secondly, you have to understand, even if somehow we're blamed because we wanted to come close to Esau, why was that any worse than other overtures we made to Moab or to Sichon when we requested passage from them? Why are we being held accountable specifically this time? It is these two questions that we must answer, and a good large part of what I'm taking is found in the wonderful, wonderful Sefer, as I very often hold up for you to see, Avnei Kodesh, an extraordinary set, actually two volumes, Svarim. And in Avnei Kodesh, quite a bit of what we're saying now is brought down. I'd like to add and mention some things on our own. But just to quickly for a moment to repeat the two questions. Number one, how could you say we connected with Esav? We were denied and rebuffed. It says we were denied entry. And secondly, why were we being held accountable now specifically with Esav more than we made overtures to other nations requesting passage? One answer may very well be that if you actually look at the Psukim, we were rebuffed. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu made the request. The king of Edom, as I read to you and I told you earlier, the king of Edom, sending the delegation requesting permission, the king turned it down. Seemingly, if you learn the Psukim, what happened was after that, and after the first messengers went with the request and rebuffed, Klal Yisrael made a second request. A subsequent request, that one could be found not in Yudal. The first one's in Yudal. Look inside, Perakov Pasuk Yudal, that's the first one. Now look inside, five Pesukim later, Perakov Pasuk Yotes. Vayomru Elo B'nei Yisrael, seemingly Klal Yisrael said to him, to the king of Edom, and there they requested once again, which was also turned down. The implication of this Pasuk Yotes over Yudalid is that we ran this operation, so to speak, without Moshe Rabbeinu knowing. In other words, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu made the request, but that attempt failed because the king of Edom flatly refused. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't try again, but Klal Yisrael apparently tried again. We tried again. In other words, it seems there was something on the part of the Jews to join and to get close to Esav, and that's why Aaron died. Moshe Rabbeinu made the request. It was turned down, apparently without the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu. What did we do? We tried again. We spoke to the king again without the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu, tried to get close. Oh, we tried to get close and we create a connection with Esav. That was our wrongdoing, and that's why Aaron died. Comes along the Halig Hashem Yishmuel. And the Shem Yishmuel tells us that the problem that really answers the two questions we asked about 5 minutes ago is in the phraseology of something that was said. Please take a look at Pasuk Yudalid. Pasuk Yudalid, Moshe Rabbeinu, I told you, sent emissaries. And when those emissaries, please look inside, I'd like a little help over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the emissaries, the Pasuk says that the emissary said to the king, Koi Amar Achicha Yisrael. Look at those four words, Chof Yudalit, critical words for tonight's shir. Koi Amar Achicha Yisrael, so said your brother Klal Yisrael. Says the Shem Yishmuel something powerful. Not just powerful, powerful doesn't do it justice. The Shem Yishmuel tells us something that I would almost say is so powerfully frightening. By using the word Achicha, these emissaries used, we were invoking our kinship. We were trying, you know, when you say to someone, I'm your brother. We're trying to curry favor. I'm your long-lost brother. Indeed, the words, Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, not just trying to curry favor and to show a kinship, but it was a long-lost brother trying to join, to come close, to get connected once again, says the Shem Yishmuel, that's why we were held accountable. That's why we were held accountable, because when those emissaries spoke, they invoked the words, Koyamar Achicha Yisrael. You're saying Achicha, you're saying you're my brother, you're saying there's a kinship, you're saying we're long-lost brothers, you're trying to curry favor, which indeed it seems to be that we were trying to do. That's something that's unacceptable. That was our wrongdoing. We tried to come close, we tried to join, and that was something that was totally unacceptable. Is it? Is it unacceptable to say to Esav and Edom, I use those terms interchangeably, as Edom came from Esav, the land, the territory, the nation. We say Esav and Edom interchangeably. Is it forbidden to try to get closer, to try to refer to them as Achich? If you take a look at Rabbi Yisai in Devarim, turn for a moment, please, you'll enjoy it. Devarim Chav Gimel Ches. Once again, if you're using these chumashim, it's on page 1054. 1054, right after Revi'i Kitzeitzei, if you're listening at home or hearing the recording, It's worth opening the Chumash to Kisaitse in Devarim Chav Gimel Ches. And there the Pasuk says, and let's say the words together so we could appreciate the flavor of the question. Says the Pasuk, Loisisayv et Adoimi. Loisisayv Adoimi means you shall not reject the one from Edoim. What are the next three words? Ki achichahu. Ki achichahu. Ki achichahu means he's your brother. So what's going on over here? The Shem Yishmuel wonders. You're telling me, or at least the way the Shem Yishmuel is giving the answer, was that the fault lied in the fact that when we made the attempt, we said, Achicha Yisrael. Please listen to me again, Rabbi, so you'll enjoy it incredibly. Achicha Yisrael, the issue was that we said Achicha. How could you say that that's an issue? How could you say evoking kinship is an issue? I just quoted to you the Pasuk in Parashat Kisaitse, Chav Gimel Ches, that says, don't reject the Nadaini, Ki Achicha Hu. He's your brother. If he is, whatever that means, you have to understand what that means, that he's your brother, and we're supposed to be brotherly towards Edom. But whatever the Pasuk means, be brotherly towards Edom, don't reject him, for he's your brother. If I'm supposed to be brotherly towards him, then how are we to be faulted in Parshas Chukas for referring to our relationship with them as Achicha Yisrael? I cannot blame you if what's going through your mind now is that that's one of the greatest questions you ever heard in your life. If what's going through your brain cells right now is that in your sojourn in this world, it's one of the most enjoyable and powerful questions you've ever heard, I wouldn't blame you. You'd be correct. And this bothers the Shem Yishmuel as well. Oh, you're looking inside. Gevaldik. How could you go ahead and call them Achicha, but you're telling me over there that they are Achicha? What's going on over here? The Shem Yishmuel says something. It's hard to describe it in words or adjectives, powerful, whatnot. It's a life lesson, the Shem Yishmuel's answer. It's something that should guide every action of every day of our life. And that's why when I kept quoting the Pasuk Kayam Arachicha Yisrael, I had everybody here focusing on the word Achicha. And yet in Kiseitse it says Achicha. Is that a bad or is that positive or negative? That's not the word to focus on. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Yaakov and Esav, they are indeed brothers. They were the biological offspring of the same parents. So you're right. You know who's brothers? Esav and Yaakov. But Meirai v'Raboisai. Meirai v'Raboisai. I'll say it again, whether you're listening live or you're on the phone, or we'll hear the recording. Esav and Yaakov are brothers. Esav and Yisrael, they could never be brothers. Of course we know that Yaakov and Yisrael are one and the same person, but the names represent something so vastly, vastly, and greatly different. What the Torah is telling us about Ki Achichahu, there's a relationship, there's a brotherhood. You can't reject your brother as a relationship between Esav and Yaakov, but not about the relationship between Esav or Edom and Yisrael. They have no relationship at all. And let's explain the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov and Esav, they talk to have a relationship. Biologically, they're brothers from the same parents. But Yaakov then becomes Yisrael. And between Yisrael and Esav, Yisrael and Edom, there's absolutely no relationship at all. Becoming Yisrael from Yaakov is a quantum leap. Where did it happen? We know that the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Lamed Beis that Yaakov was fighting with the guardian angel of Esav. Your name will no longer be Yaakov. That's where his name was changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. Before I go on with the explanation of what the name Yisrael represents, I'd like to interject a pshat from Rav Leib L'Eger. I think this pshat from Rav Leib L'Eger will help sweeten the understanding of the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael. The pasuk I just quoted told you that the reason for perpetuity, our name is Yisrael, is where do we get the name Yisrael from? From that pasuk. I just quoted to you the pasuk. In Vayishlach, Lamed Beis, the pasuk says that Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael. Hence, a girl is known as a Bas Yisrael. We are known as Klal Yisrael. For perpetuity, we are known as Am Yisrael. The word Yisrael, Kisarisa, because we fought with the guardian angel of Esau. Did I not get the end of that memo? Doesn't the pasuk end by saying Kisarisa Makil Anashim Vatuchal? We fought and we won. We won. So why, ask Shablabel Eger, are we called Yisrael, etymologically from the word Sarisa? Why aren't we called B'nei Yituchal from the last word of the pasuk, Vatuchal, we won? I realize that if every girl was called a Bas Yituchal, it would sound awkward, but that's only because we're used to the name Yisrael. Listen to the question again. Why are we called Yisrael, etymologically from the word Sarisa? The last word of that pasuk says Vatuchal. Vatuchal means we won. We were successful. Yaakov won. That's why he became Yisrael. So if it means Vatuchal, we won, why isn't every girl, every boy, every person called Yituchal from that word Vatuchal? It means we won. Why does our name come from the word Sarisa? If Label Eger says a pshat, I find so incredible. What do you mean that we won? What is your definition of winning? There's an entire world outside the Kaisley Beis Medrash. There's an entire world outside of Klal Yisrael that has a definition of winning that's not our definition. Their definition is, I have a 4.5 GPA. Their definition of winning is, I'm too cool for school. I'm always in the one percentile. Their definition of winning is, I got 100 on the test, and I won the gold medal. I'm always the first with an A++++. That's the world's definition of winning. And we know, I'm looking at your faces, we know that that's true. That is the world's definition of winning. If you have the A+, the 4.5 GPA, if you're too cool for school, if you get the 100%, if you're in the 1% percentile, if you're the head of the class, you have won. That's not the Ribbono Shel'olam's definition of winning. God's definition of winning is, did you try? Did you put in the effort? Were you willing to persevere? How often did we mention that the success, I mentioned it about a few weeks ago, that the king, when he was putting a person in charge to pick soldiers for his army, will repeat it for 30 seconds. Who was it that he picked? The fellow came back and reported all the people that stayed on the horse the longest. This one stayed on 6 minutes, this one stayed on 8 minutes, this one 9 minutes. And yet when the king made his Rashima, his list, who did he choose? Some that stayed on only a minute, 30 seconds, 90 seconds, and the fellow was totally flummoxed. He said to the king, why are you choosing them for your army? The others stayed on much longer. He said, foolish person, I'm not choosing for my army the ones that stayed on the mighty horse the longest. I'm choosing the ones that after falling off got back on the quickest. That's what interests me. Somebody stayed on 9 minutes, but then when he fell off, barely made an effort to get back on. He's not for my army. But the one who fell off, albeit after 30 seconds, a minute and a half, he got back on. He tried. Sarisa, Sarisa, Sarisa. Those are the ones I want in my army. The Ribbono Shel'olam's definition of winning is, did you try, albeit it's difficult and there are challenges? Abaisai, and there are. Did you try? Did you put in the effort? Did you persevere? Did you not give up? Did you try to get back on the horse? If you could answer yes to any of those five questions I just asked, then you're a winner. Says Reb Leibel Eger, that's the pshat. We are not called Yituchah from the word Vatuchah, because our definition is not the world's definition. The world's definition is all the things I mentioned earlier. Our definition of winning is Sarisa. Did you persevere? Did you try? Did you get back up? Were you willing to put up a fight and continue? If you could answer yes to those questions, then you are a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. And dare I say, the greatest title that a person could earn in this world is Yisrael. From the word Sarisa. It means that I was willing to try and to put in the effort And with that, even though in the face of a challenge or a difficulty, then you are a winner. You've earned the title Yisroel. And now we go back to what the Shemi Shmuel says. The name Yisroel Taka represents your ability to handle challenges. There are struggles in life. There are temptations. But to deal with that adversity, to try to succeed, that's what the name Yisroel represents. And that's what Yaakov Avinu did during that night. He was striving to overcome. When you strive to overcome, that's when your name changes from Yaakov to Yisroel. So says the Shemi Shmuel, Yaakov and Esav are brothers. But Yisrael and Esav, Yisrael and Edom, they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. In fact, might I add, something correct to say, you even see this in the name. For we just explained that Yisroel represents your ability to achieve. Yisroel represents your ability to, the quality of growing, of trying, of continuing, of persevering. Esav, the exact opposite. For etymologically, Esav is from the word asui. What does asui mean? Made and complete. That's what the word asui means. Asui means made, complete, finished, done. No room for any growth. Yisrael versus Esav. Esav means, I'm made and complete, I'm done. I don't have no need to change. And Yisrael means to get up, to persevere, to try again, to strive and to overcome. And with this, we could begin answering the question. When the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Ki Tse, Perach Chavgimel, Pasuk Ches, don't reject the Adoimi Ki Achicha, who is your brother. Who's he the brother of? He's the brother of Yaakov. He's not the brother of Yisrael. Yet our Pasuk, where Klal Yisrael seems to be faulted, and Pasuk Yadalit, on the top of H 46, read it yourself, the top of the Pasuk Yadalit, what does it say? That the emissary said to the Melech of Edom, page 846, Koyamara Chicha Yisrael! Koyamara Chicha Yisrael! As if they're talking to Esav and Edom and saying, Yisrael's your brother. They lost sight of the fact that there is not to be and never to be a connection, yes, between Yaakov and Edom, but not between Yisrael and Edom. And when this pasuk says that we refer to our relationship as Koyamar Achicha Yisrael, that was unacceptable. We failed to grasp the concept of our potential. We failed to grasp what Yisrael means, the ability to go the antithesis of Esav, which is from Asui, made and complete. These two entities have nothing to do with each other, meaning to speak of Edom and Esav in the same breath as Yisrael is unacceptable. And that says the Shemi Shmuel is where the fault of ours was. And we know we indeed were blamed for that fault. And that's why, as I just share a few things with you to begin concluding this year, I want to remind you of the way we started. Living with the idea that we are Yaakov, but we have the ability to become Yisroel, means remembering every day, I may have made an Aveira, or fallen, or taken a step back, but on any given day I can get back up and persevere. I can overcome and prevail. I can try. That's behaving like Yisroel. It's something we could never lose sight of. In fact, maybe that's the pshat. When it says that Yaakov and Esav are brothers, but Yisroel and Esav could never be brothers, is because if you are Yisroel, you realize your innate greatness. You realize your potential. You realize what you could become. And Esav is just the opposite, as I said, from the word Asui. Maybe that explains the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, the last parsha in Sefer Bereishis, the opening pasuk of Vayechi. I'll tell it to you outside. The pasuk says, Vayechi Yaakov, it speaks about the life of Yaakov. And then the Pasuk says, Vayehi Yemei Yaakov, it speaks about his days and his life as 147 years. And then the very next Pasuk says, Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael Lamos. Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael Lamos. Now he's about to leave this world and pass away. But note, Avi, what do we note? That the Pasuk and Parsha begins with the name Yaakov, not once but twice. And then all of a sudden switches to the name Yisrael. As his life is ending, it goes from that name of Yaakov to that ultimate name of Yisrael. Maybe that's what the beginning of Parshas Vayechi is talking about. When summarizing his life, the Torah is being made and telling us that the tachlis and tafkid of what a person works on is to raise and elevate themselves from the level of Yaakov to Yisrael. And might we say that's the pshat, literally what it means, Vayikru Yimei Yisrael Lamos, the pasuk literally means that his time approached to die. His time came close to die. But I think we can homiletically explain it differently. A person has many days. We've said very often, a person could be welcomed in Shemayim after passing away at the age of 100 as a six-year-old. But he was 100. No, but he was six. Because he barely utilized his time. A person could, Chalila Rachman al-Islam, pass away at a young age, but be accepted in Shemayim as a very old man, where he made his yomim count. We've said many times a well-known story with the Ger Rebbe, when the Sfasem has passed away in his 50s, two of his sons were having a conversation, the Imre Emeth and Rav Moshe Betzalel. One said to the other, Baruch Hashem, our father had arichas yomim, to which the other said, how could you say he had longevity of life? He passed away in his 50s. He said, I didn't say our father had arichas shonim. I said he had arichas yomim. Longevity of years, nobody's in charge of. Longevity of days, qualitative time, that Hitaka had. And that's the way I believe the Pasuk is teaching us, that Yaakov Avinu had so many challenges. Yaakov Avinu had nisyonis temidias. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says that we are connected and we relate with Yaakov Avinu as the Bechir Sheba Oves. Why? Because he was constantly challenged, constantly tested, the life of Yaakov Avinu. And yet every day he made it a day of Yisrael. Every day he took the day of Yaakov and made it Yisrael. And maybe that's the way to read the beginning of the Parsha. Vayikruvu Yemei Yisrael, almost I'm suggesting might mean Vayikruvu Yomim. He brought his days, Lomos, to his Misa. Every one of his days were so rich quantitatively and qualitatively. Every one of his days were so full of life. Vayikruvu Yomim, Lomos. He brought his days with him. He brought his days with him, Lomos, to his Misa. When a person brings his days, what does it mean you bring your days with you? It means you have what to show for them. You have something quantitatively and qualitatively. Vayikru Yemei Lomos. When you bring your days with you, and every day, or as often as we can be said to be a qualitative day, that is a life of Yisrael. And maybe that's what the beginning of Parshas Vayechi is teaching us. We've mentioned many times that the gematria of the word Yisrael is 541. If you take a look, two of the middle letters of Yisrael, the second and fourth letter, the second letter of Yisrael is a shin, and the fourth letter of Yisrael is an aleph. Those two letters spell the word Eish. Eish is fire. The gematria of Eish is 301. If you remove the Eish from Yisrael, remove 301 from 541, what are you left with? 240. 240 is the gematria of Amalek. 240 is Amalek. 240, might I add, is also the word of Suffolk, when I'm in doubt. When I'm in doubt and I give up, that's Amalek. When I'm in doubt and I don't try harder, that's Amalek. In fact, Amalek is really a makeup of the name Amel Kuf. How do you spell the name Amalek? Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf. Make the first three letters one word, Amel Kuf. What does Amel Kuf mean? To get involved in the world of Kuf, Kuf is the gematria of 100. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that tells us there's no comparing someone who learns something 100 times to someone who learns something 101. Someone who learns something 101 is called an Eved Hashem. Someone who doesn't and only learns it 100 is not called serving Hashem. What's the idea of 101? 101 is so much greater than 100? That one time makes me an Eved where 100 isn't? It's because that one extra time means I didn't give up. That one extra time means I was willing to persevere. Albeit it was difficult, it was a challenge, there was something that was hard. But that one extra time represents I'm an Eved Hashem, and an Eved Hashem will act like Yisrael. An Eved Hashem will continue. When a person has a suffix of doubt and throws in the towel, that's Amalek. As I just told you a moment ago, Amalek is the word Amel Kuf. What does Amel Kuf mean? Amel Kuf, to get, remain and stay in the world of Kuf. What's the world of Kuf? The world of 100. In other words, what Amalek wants is that you shouldn't advance to the level of 101. You shouldn't become that person of 101, because that person of 101 is a servant of Hashem. That person of 101 is Yisrael. Amalek is Amel Kuf. They want you to be Omel. They want you to be a Rangatan. They want you to be stagnant and remain in the world of 100 and never, ever make it to the next stratosphere, the next echelon of 101. But when we do, we don't give in to our suffix. We defeat Amalek. And as I told you, when we put the 301 back in the name, we're putting the Aish back in. Aish represents the fire, the passion, the bren, the hislavos, the gefil. When you put the eish back in, you become Yisrael. And that's the story of Yaakov and Esav, Achichahu. They are brotherly. Yisrael and Esav, never. Yisrael represents that quantum leap, that belief, the antithesis of Esav of Asui, made and complete, the belief that I will try, I could continue. I may have fallen multiple times, but I believe Vayikru Yomim Lomus, that I could make something from each day. And the fact that I didn't yesterday doesn't mean I cannot today. And the fact that I didn't today doesn't mean I can't tomorrow. And the fact that I did it this past week does not mean I cannot do it next week. It's the ability to live Yisraeldik. It's the ability to realize that that may very well be the greatest title we can earn. I give all of us a bracha. Please remember Yisrael and Esav, they are not brothers. Yisrael means we continue, we'll persevere, we'll overcome, we'll try, we'll put in the effort. May we be zeiche to earn that glorious, glorious title of a Bas Yisrael, a Ben Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and be zeiche to return to Eretz Yisrael. B'mheira b'yameinu, amen. Thanks.